Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
Thank you, Frank, for reading. Choices. Are you an internet shopper? Since lockdown, I've had to change the way I shop. Instead of popping into Cambridge to visit a couple of possible stores, I search on Amazon or eBay for whatever it is I need. It's relatively easy and relatively pain-free. But there is one enormous drawback. There are far too many choices. A couple of months ago, our freezer broke down. Normally, I'd have gone into Currys or John Lewis and physically checked out a few models and made a decision. On the internet, I was offered a good 24 models, all suggesting certain advantages that made them the right one, the very right one to choose. In the end, Sarah and I just picked one at random. It was the correct size and it was fine. We were really pleased with the choice. However, we also had to replace our fridge freezer. It was that sort of time. And the choice we made for that appliance has left us wishing that we could only have gone to Currys and checked out a few physically. And did you notice that running through our whole section today is the theme of choice? In verses 13 and 14, we have a choice between two gates and two roads. In verses 15 to 23, we have a choice between two types of preacher. And then at the end of the passage, the same choices made by the people who were listening to Jesus. And in verses 24 to 27, we have a choice between two types of foundations. And I'd like us to look at those over the next few moments. The warning from Jesus is quite clear. We will be destroyed if we don't listen, and if having heard, we don't act. Each section sets out the choice and the consequences. First of all, then, we have a choice of road. In verses 13 to 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate
and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So we have the choice, broad or narrow. We have two gates and access to two roads. They are totally different. Small or large gate, easy walking or tough terrain. And it's a true picture of Christianity. Christians will always be in the minority. Humans have two destinations, destruction or life, heaven or hell. And Jesus is very clear. If we reject his gentle command to enter through the narrow gate, if we reject the offer of life that Jesus has won for us by his death and resurrection, if we say thanks but no thanks to the offer of entry into his kingdom, then we will join the crowd on the road on the way down to hell. In our society, that's typified by a tolerance that takes the view that if it's all right for you, then it's okay. That there is no such thing as a moral absolute or absolute truth. Everything is relative. The road to destruction is peopled by many travellers who do their own thing, who recognise no absolute laws, people who reject God's offer of friendship and salvation. The road to life is peopled by those who acknowledge their own wickedness and accept the free offer of forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. So we have a choice of gate and road. And secondly, we have a choice of teacher. Let's look at this passage again. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And then the last passage, piece of the passage, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Watch out for wolves. They are dangerous. Many false teachers will advertise the broad road to destruction. We need to be aware and discerning. False and inaccurate teaching is destructive. As you know, farmers are allowed to shoot dogs that worry their sheep. Why is that? This is what the National Sheep Association, and there is actually such an association, reported last year. When a flock is attacked, 67% of the sheep are injured. Of that 67%, 97% are either killed by the dog or have to be euthanized because they are so badly hurt. The association paints a graphic picture of pure carnage. And Jesus is here giving us a terrible warning. Don't go near ferocious wolves. They will kill us. And that is a warning that every Christian needs to heed. Jesus is assuming that there are two types of religious leaders, the faithful and the false. The word in Greek that he uses has given us the word pseudo or lying. So these false prophets and teachers tell lies. They are imitation teachers, and we must expect to find them in Christian churches today. When Jesus was alive, the Pharisees and Sadducees were those wolves. For us, it's any preacher who does not adhere to what the Bible says. That's why Frank always asks us to keep our Bibles open when listening to sermons. We need to check that what is said is a true interpretation of what is written. Is it actually there on the page or on the screen? Our objective standard of truth must be the Bible. And we need to know our Bibles in order to be able to recognise those wolves. Any preacher who tells us that he's reapplying scripture for our modern generation or interpreting it for the modern mind is highly likely to be a ravenous wolf. So we must beware. That preacher may be claiming divine inspiration, but is likely to be spreading falsehoods. In the Garden of Eden, Satan told Eve that she wouldn't die if she ate the forbidden fruit. God had said differently. Eve ignored God's warning. She was given reassurance when there should have been a danger sign. Today it's the same. Anyone who preaches tolerance of all lifestyles, who accepts the permissive way of life that many lead and does not warn of final judgment, is offering a false version of Christianity. As Christian believers, we have a hard question to answer. Do we stand up against such teaching? Are we willing to be criticized for saying what we believe to be true? Do we care more about what people think of us now than in what God will think of them on Judgment Day? And verse 16 is a key verse. We shall know these preachers by the fruit they produce. And what is good fruit? John the Baptist put it very clearly to the religious leaders of his day. They were to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. His cry was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And that's why verses 21 to 23 are so shocking. It's clearly possible to say all the right things, do all the right things, but not to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. A church may have a huge reputation. A preacher may have an impressive following, but unless the result is that people are repenting of their sins, then that church and that preacher fall into the category of wolves. Verse 23 says it, and says it so well. "Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." But how do we recognize wolves? How do we tell the false from the true? Wolves don't warn of sin, judgment, and hell. Wolves don't plead us to follow the narrow path. Wolves don't hold up Jesus as the only way to heaven. Wolves do sit comfortably with the sin that exists inside and outside the church today. We need to beware of such people. So we have a choice of gate and road, a choice of teacher, and finally a choice of foundation. Verses 24 to 27. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." How does someone decide where to build a property? So much depends on the ground available. Now, I have to admit, because I was criticised or critiqued by my wife this morning. I have never been to St. David's Cathedral, but I have it on very good authority that the floor slopes. Archaeologists believe it because it was underneath the foundations was a swamp, and the weight of the stonework caused one side of the building to sink. And our builder's story illustrates the same point perfectly. We have two houses that look absolutely great from the outside. Each of them did credit to the architect. Each of them was finished at a high specification. At first glance, the house on the beach was a real bonus. So nice to be near the sea. The sound of waves can be so relaxing. Really wonderful to have a swim before breakfast. The very perfect location. The house up the cliff on the rocks was fine, but the location didn't compare with the one down below. But there was that fatal flaw. When the storm came, both houses were battered by high winds and driving rain. The house at the top was battered and damaged, but remained intact. The other house subsided in a torrent of water, leaving a pile of debris and a view of the open sky. Our reaction would be, how stupid can you get? Jesus' reaction and Jesus' verdict was that the man was foolish. But these aren't two fictional houses. They represent each one of us. They are a warning to us, whoever we are, whether we're important or unknown. They represent not houses, but our lives. They aren't tents, but permanent dwellings for the whole of our lives here on earth. Where we place our security, where we lie down our foundations, is a life-directing decision. Thinking back to the narrow gate, there is no middle way. Thinking back to the good tree, there's no goodish tree. It's one way or the other. And that is so different from the overwhelming choices I spoke about on the internet. Here we have just two options. Jesus has spelled it out in startling clarity. He has offered a choice, the wise way or the foolish way. The question facing each of us is, on what shall I build my life? On what shall I hope? Will I read, listen, understand, and act on the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount? Will I build my life on Jesus' way? Or will what I have heard go in one ear and out the other? Now, we can't see each other's foundations. They are based on personal decisions made in the secret depths of our hearts. You may remember that when Samuel was looking for a king, the Lord said this to him: man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. These chapters in Matthew have laid out the principles for Christian living. The evidence of how we choose to live will be a measure of our Christian character. What kind of life are we building? As Christian believers, do we hunger for righteousness? Do we show mercy and work for peace? Are we salt and light in a dark world? Do we give to the poor? Do we respect marriage? Where is our treasure? Where is our rock? When King David was fleeing from Saul, he wrote these wonderful words: I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. In Luke's version of the wise and foolish builders, he adds a significant phrase. The floods hit the house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. And if we base our foundation on hearing, understanding, and on the words of Jesus, we will be secure. Now, if you've joined us this evening and are not a Christian believer, you're most welcome. As we have been told numerous times in the past months, we are living through unprecedented times. And for many of us, our life foundations have been severely rocked, been challenged. Jesus does offer certainty in the midst of uncertainty, calm in the midst of the storm, and he's worth checking out. May I politely encourage you to read one of the historical accounts of his life that are written in the Bible. The Gospel of Mark is a great place to start. May I encourage you to get to know the person as well as getting to know about the person. We here in church have heard these words of Jesus over the past few weeks. The question remains, will we put them into practice on a daily basis? On what will we build our lives? The fool says in his heart, there is no God, and takes the path to destruction. The wise man heeds those words and takes the path to life. I'd like to finish with a prayer. Thank you, Father God, for the things we've seen and learnt from the Sermon on the Mount. Please give us the grace to live lives that get evidence of our trust in you and obedience to your word. Amen.